There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Football, and they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
Blow that whistle, Eddie. Yeah. Thank you. 25 Whistles presented by DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Check out what DraftKings has to offer this season with the code BobbySports, because life's more fun when you're in on the action. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. I hope you had a great Christmas. So this is an episode we did before Christmas to put up because it's got some really good interviews. But because this is not live or even close to when the games are.
So we're going
to
lie about our Christmas?
No, I want you to give me two options. One, wow, Cowboys. Can you believe it?
Got you.
Playing so well. Got a great shot at the Super Bowl. And then two, the other version of that.
Yeah, okay.
So, and who knows, we may leave them both in.
Come on.
Just to be funny. All right, let's do the version where the Cowboys are really doing well.
Are you ready?
All right, and go.
Wow, guys. I mean, dude, who would have thought this? This is so unbelievable. Wow. We went in, we beat the Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, we beat the Dolphins,
okay.
And then we beat freaking Detroit.
Let's
guys,
go.
We're on a roll. I think we're unstoppable. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. Okay.
We're
I hope so.
I have
a future. I don't know about winning all three of those games, if that's factually accurate or not. But
did you see, dude, and Dak 6 touchdowns in one game? Wow. Unbelievable.
Is he going to win the MVP?
100%.
Yes. All right. Well, go Cowboys.
Go Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? All right. Now do the opposite and go.
I don't know, dude. Like, how do they blow it like this?
Don't cry.
No, it's just
hard. You're
going
to get made fun of for crying, man.
It's just hard, man. Like, they had such a good thing going, and then they're just going to blow it. You know what? Typical Cowboys fashion.
I was going to ask if you somewhat expected it.
It's kind of what the Cowboys do, man.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm also sad because I had a future and I had Dak for MVP. Is that happening?
I mean, do you think it's happening? I don't think so.
He hasn't played in three games.
So, what?
He got it.
I'm not doing that one.
What?
Stop. I'm not doing that version.
That's called improv.
No, not
it's dark, man.
He got the bird flu.
Yeah, dude. What are you talking about?
All right. Cut. All right, good. Wait, here we are. So we'll talk to
that's too much.
Two-time Super Bowl champion Logan Ryan and former second overall pick from the 2000 NFL draft, LeVar Arrington. Logan Ryan was coming on with us one show, and he messaged me early in the morning, was like, I just got picked up by the 49ers. Can we do it the next day? I was like, dude, don't do it at all.
You're like, don't worry about us.
I was like, dude, we're good. Go play for the 49ers.
Awesome.
It's pretty cool. So he won two Super Bowls with the Patriots in 14 and 16. He gave us some great recruiting insight. Good dude. Loved having him. Here he is, Logan Ryan. Logan, where do you live? Like, what town?
I live currently in Tampa, Florida.
So what's up in Nashville? Like, we're lucky to have, first of all, super pumped you're here.
Yeah.
But like, what's here?
You're here.
Yeah, that's true. I can agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was hosting Good Morning Football and had a lot of fun doing that and got some good feedback. And my publicist was kind of working the phones a little bit. And opportunity to come on your podcast, which was awesome. And I used to live here. So I lived here for 3-4 years. My content guy's out here. I got a lot of friends on the Titans. So I'm doing some more media while my name is hot and hanging out with you.
Is that the goal? Because I know you probably want to, you're a free agent.
Yeah.
You're waiting for the call, or are you like, screw the call, I'm doing media because it's awesome?
Either or, you know, I'm still training 6 days a week, but I'm taking advantage of the opportunities. And I've always, you know, when I was a Tennessee Titans, I hosted a Logan Ryan show where I hosted a radio show for 2-3 years. I hosted a show in New York, hosted the NFL player podcast. I've always been like the speech before the locker room guy.
Were you always that guy in high school too?
Yeah, I was a quarterback growing up, growing up my whole life. I was a point guard, I was a quarterback, I was a pitcher. So I always had the ball in my hands. I was always the guy to inspire. You know how a lot of guys say, "Oh, you know, I kind of lead by my actions." I do both.
Yeah, I felt that.
Yeah, I lead by my words.
At what age did you start to be? Because let's see, like in ninth grade, I'm not the athlete you are. I'm not comparing that, but I'm just going to tell you my story. In ninth grade, I got to move up and play with the senior high team, 10th, 11th, 12th graders. But I didn't say anything because I'm the freaking ninth grader, and I didn't play as a ninth grader.
Yeah.
When did you start playing, and when could you actually be a vocal leader in high school? Because I'm imagining that you were far more athletic than the other kids your age.
Yeah, so when I got to high school, I started varsity basketball as a freshman, but I was on the freshman football team. So I led my little, you know, freshman teammates on the freshman games, but I wasn't on varsity. And in basketball, I kind of was the point guard, but I mean, these kids, my brother was 4 years older than me. My brother was a senior and I was a freshman. And I was playing with his friends, and I felt really little compared to them. Like, I was like, I didn't have a voice. I just ran the plays.
You were playing as like a 14-year-old, 14, yeah. 15 years old, with 18-year-olds?
Yeah.
Were you as good as some of them?
I was definitely good enough to be on the court, for sure. I wasn't the best player at 14 on our team.
Yeah.
I knew that. But by, you know, my sophomore, junior year, yeah, definitely. So I kind of grew into it. I would say, once that ball got in my hands and I realized what we needed to win, then I wasn't afraid to step up and demand that, because I always wanted, you know, to win more than anything else.
I was watching the Redeem Team on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's about the U.S. Olympic basketball team got a bronze and they were embarrassed and they had to somehow get a new coach, get the players to commit in. Because to a lot of those guys, I would get that, being 22 and rich and you just got, and now they want you to go train for months, and I would get why some of them wouldn't want to do that.
I watched it. I loved it.
Oh, wasn't it awesome?
Yeah, man. I got a Kobe tattoo on me. They had to bring Kobe in. They had to bring Kobe in to really win that.
And that was my point about leadership. And I always understood and respected Kobe because in my mind, he's probably the third greatest player of all time. Top three for sure. And the fact that the guys were like, we were in Vegas. We went to the club. We did what we put. And Kobe's there. Gloves on, going to the gym when they're coming in.
4 a.m.
And all those guys slowly started to do what Kobe was doing because he was doing it and he was that leader.
Yeah.
So you say you were vocal and by example. Were you like first one in, last one out type guy?
Yeah, I kind of picked up that because I was always like one of the best athletes, but there was always like a more physical freak on the team. Like I wasn't like raw out of bed better than everybody. I was like more skilled because I worked on it. And I remember my mom would pick me up in high school every day after work. My mom worked at 9 to 5, 9 to 4:30. And she would pick me up at like 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. And we would get out of high school at like 2:30. So in football season, I obviously had practice and my mom would pick me up. But out of football or basketball season, the spring, I had 2.5 hours to kill. You know, I wasn't taking the bus home. So I was just literally every day, Monday through Friday, in the weight room 5 days a week, lifting for an hour or two, going out to the field, doing just drills that I made up. And then eventually more people came out there and I would put a ladder drills down, do agility drills. And I was like pretty
were
much
you running the drills.
I was pretty much coming up with drills that I would see on. I mean, shoot, I don't even know if YouTube was out back then, but whatever. I was just finding drills and doing them and doing this. And that was kind of leadership, right? Like I'm doing these off-season workouts, but I just was like waiting for my mom to pick me up.
Did you have a good relationship with the coaches? Because it sounds like you love the games, we can say games, and you also weren't afraid to put work in. Were you the guy that they would lean on high school and college to go, all right, you got to be the voice to those guys, be my voice to them?
Right. Yeah, I think so, especially playing the quarterback position and stuff. I just think there's certain positions in sports where you expect the leader there, and I kind of was that. So I think it happened naturally, mainly because of the position I played. But I do remember, like, my junior year when I kind of was stepping in the role as varsity quarterback and stuff, I was not great at pregame speeches. Like, I didn't want to talk. I felt like a senior should talk, you know, before the game. Like, I was silent, and I would always get really nervous before a game, still do. Like, I always get, like, a little bit nervous and tense. And I just was really, really quiet. And I feel like that developed more in the NFL and college of having the, you know, taking public speaking classes and whatnot, just having the confidence to go up in front of a room of 100 people and motivate them without feeling like, you know, a clown or say something dumb or mess it up, you know, or be laughed at. And I just think that came in older, like giving actual the speech. But actually just on the field, yeah, when I'm playing in between the lines, yeah, the leadership always came out.
Were you super educated on what was happening every game? Put the time in the film room always? Was that a priority, or did you have to learn how to do that later?
I learned how to do that later, but growing up, my dad coached me when I was little, maybe up till, I don't know, 10, 11 years old. And every year, like I said, I played offense and I played defense, so I didn't come off the field. And I swear every year he made me change positions. He's like, all right, well, last year receiver, this year you're going
to
play running back.
Oh, to learn?
Yeah, and then this year you're going to do this. And then we had a really good team in like eighth grade, and we went, in Little League, we went like unscored upon. Like we beat everybody 35 to nothing and didn't give up a point the entire season. And on that team, we had like three NFL players and like six Division I wrestlers out of like 11 starters. Like nine of us went to college for sports. So it was a really good team. But in the second half, my dad would make all the skill players play O-line and give the O-lineman the ball so that, they, you know, we would block for them.
Yeah.
You know? And I just felt like, why are we doing this? You know? But I love my O-lineman. You know, I always treat them well. And I understood what it was like to block. I played tight end. I played receiver. I played running back. I played quarterback. I played corner. I played safety. And really in the NFL really helped my versatility because I learned the game from so many different angles. And even when I play defense in the NFL, I think of it from like a reverse quarterback perspective. Like, okay, what is he reading? He's probably going to throw this because I'm showing him that.
It's like you're reverse engineering.
Yeah.
What exactly you think is about to happen.
Yeah.
Dang. So when you were in high school, you played quarterback. Were you recruited as a quarterback?
So that was back before they wanted, like, you know, 6 foot black quarterbacks running around the NFL. Like, that's not the norm now.
Did you feel like because you were a 6 foot black quarterback that was actually held against you?
Well, they're going to recruit you as an athlete. So what happens is everybody, I would say half of, you know, college football players probably played quarterback when they were growing up because they're the best player and they want the ball in their hands. But back then they would say, you're going to be a receiver, or you're going to be a corner, or you're going to be a safety. So I knew, like, looking ahead, like, yeah, I'm probably going to end up being a corner. And I played corner as well, and I was ranked pretty high in New Jersey for it. So I kind of knew already what it was, but you just didn't have the opportunities, Division I, to be like, oh, you're 5'11 and a half, and, you know, you're a great athlete. We're going to make you play a different position. Like, quarterback is for these type of guys, 6'4", white, 225-pound guy. You know, but now the NFL, as you see, has caught up. And
I mean, Bryce Young.
Yeah, Bryce Young is 5'9". Kyler Murray's 5'9". No, these dudes, I remember hosting the draft in Nashville when they had the draft in Nashville a couple years ago. And I was actually working in media, and I was on the red carpet hosting these guys. And I'm like, Quinnen Williams, just lift the mic up. And DK Metcalf, lift the mic way up. And like, Kyler Murray, put the mic, like, I'm like, this guy is little. I mean, little hands, little arms.
Yeah.
But he's special in his skill set, and he had the opportunity. They never made him switch positions. But a lot of us, they're like, I don't know if you're gonna go Division I and play.
What star were you recruit?
I was a 4-star recruit.
And what is life like as a 4-star recruit?
It's gotta be pretty good.
Yeah, man, it was. I mean,
it's
I thought
be good.
So I was really a 3-star coming out, and for most of it, and then I think the ranking guy, Rivals ranking guy, come to check out one of my games my senior year. And I was already committed to Rutgers. So I like had 25 scholarships.
As an athlete or safety or what? At the time, were you going to Rutgers to do what though?
I was going to Rutgers to play corner.
Okay.
I was the number one corner in the state of New Jersey. And I was like one of the better quarterbacks, but I was the number one at that position.
Got it.
And I was a 3-star, committed to Rutgers verbally and all that stuff. And then we play the opening game, and he comes to see our gameplay. And I get a pick six like on the first possession of the game. And literally reverse engineering, the coach told me, if you see the quarterback roll out, you know, it's going to be a route in front of you and a route behind you. Just bait the route behind you. And every time they roll out, they run the same play. So the first play of the game, I see the rollout. I see the route behind me. I act like I'm going to go get the route behind me. And I just bait him. He throws a route in front of me, 80-yard pick six to start my senior year. And that night I got a 4-star.
Boom, he just pops
Bing,
up. Boom.
Like next day, right? Bing, 4-star. So what happens? Notre Dame calls me. Miami calls me. Penn State calls me.
From that one bing, yeah, that one star coming up.
Like, oh, now he's this level recruit. And they're like, oh, you don't want to go to Rutgers. Come here, come there, come
there.
It's
crazy that it wasn't some tape, that it wasn't like a library of tape on you that changed their mind. No. It was literally a recruiting service, one guy who saw one game.
Yep. And
wild.
New colleges come. It's lazy. Recruiting's lazy. What happens is a lot of states, out-of-state teams, like Alabama's not going to come to New Jersey unless, one, you're offered by your New Jersey school. So they're going to let Rutgers do the work. Once Rutgers does the work, all the other Big East schools at the time, right? It was West Virginia. It was whatever. So like, okay, this guy, obviously Rutgers identified him. So now your conference is going to start recruiting you and they start offering you. And then once your whole conference offers you and then you get that fourth star, then you become a national recruit. Now coaches are jetting to your field, your high school, and landing on the thing and trying to, and that's why you see guys flip recruitment. So, I mean, now they're getting paid, but they flip recruitment so much because one thing changed.
Who came that was cool?
I would say Greg Schiano. When Rutgers recruited me, they put out all the stops. He landed a helicopter on a local hospital, and so he flew a helicopter in to see me. I think Iowa was super dope. Michigan State was cool. But Rutgers, I mean, they sent people to my grandmother's funeral. My grandmother passed away. They had people at the funeral. They were working. They had a Bible in front of my mom. They went a whole different angle at my dad. I mean, they were pulling every stop, like, to get me to stay.
I feel like if I was on a jury or if I was being recruited, I just flip all the time. I'd be like, oh, that's great. I'm here. Yeah, oh, that's great. Guilty. Oh, no, not guilty. Michigan State. I feel like I'll be doing that like crazy because I'm sure everybody's giving you their best effort. They're showing you that, like, you know, Chris Rock talks about dating somebody new and he's like, you know, you didn't really meet me. You meet my representative when you know, it's the early version, but it's the best version of the school in every way. Like, aren't they all just awesome when you do that?
They like really recruit your parents. I came from a two parent background, super solid. My dad was a cop. My mom worked, like I said, a 9-to-5. So they really had my parents on lock. But looking back at it, I'm like, man, I should have took that official visit to Hawaii. That's a great flight, great trip. Should have went out there. Maybe I should have checked out UNLV. That would have been a fun little Vegas trip.
What do you do on an official visit? Like, you land.
Yeah.
Just a brief description. I have no idea. You land. Then what happens? Who's there? What's the day like?
So you land. You'll be red carpeted, black car, picked up, go to the school. All the coaches will be there, excited, balloons, catered food. And then New York, Rutgers' whole pitch was, we're going to send you to New York. So you take the train in New York. They rent it out like a Dave and Buster's in like Times Square. So you're in Times Square. You're at, like, got to rent it out Dave and Buster's. You're playing games. They're talking like, yeah, you're going to, like, we have these McCourty twins and they're all right, but you're going to come in and you're going to play over them and like all this. But I knew they were on their way out and I was going to fill in the next shoes, but they're like, yeah, they're okay. But Jason McCourty, this guy, I mean, he can't even get an interception. You had 6 interceptions last year. We need you, right? So they tell you what you want to hear. And then we got back on the train to Rutgers and the coaches leave and then you're paired with a player. So I didn't have the McCourty twins. I had a kid that was actually on my little league team that I told you about that we like went undefeated or whatever. So I knew him since we were kids. So he kind of hosted me, and that's your host. And
why they gave you him, right?
Right, because we knew each other. Yeah. So then I got one of my best friends already there, and he's like, whatever. And then they gave your host like $100, and he's supposed to take you to a party, and take you. And he was like, look, man, I'm keeping 50 of these bucks. Like, you got 50, you know? So, and then, you know, they try to show you girls and try to give you a good night. And then, but the worst part is when you're a host, you have practice the next day. I'm like, I'm not partying with this freaking 16-year-old kid, 17-year-old kid all night. And I got to wake up at 7 a.m. and run sprints. Like, I kept that $100.
Well, I bet some people do, though. I bet they go hard and then go to, I mean, it's just so.
Oh, yeah. When you're younger, you can do it.
Yeah, so when you get to Rutgers, is the speed of the game so much different going high school to college or college to the pros? When does it adjust so much that you're like, okay, hold on, let me get this straight?
I think the speed of the game, because everyone comes from different high school. You come from some country school where, I mean, you got, you know, 8-on-8 football, whatever, in the middle of Nevada or something. But I think the speed of the game is a bigger difference. I think the coaching was a bigger difference for me because Greg Schiano was such a tough coach for me, and I wasn't used to getting yelled at or just like negativity showing my way or getting cussed at. Like, I wasn't used to, I'm like, whoa, this is kind of hard environment for me to thrive in. So I think that was the biggest shock for me, the speed and just the coaching. Because as soon as you commit and day one practice starts, all that recruiting's out the window.
Like military.
Like now I own you. And it really felt like I feel like we went to like a military academy. It was that strict and disciplined at Rutgers with him. And, you know, but then I went to the NFL. I came from that academy mindset. So like the discipline was there. No one could do anything that I haven't done already. Like I've been through tougher workouts. So now it's all about execution and just skill. Like we need you here. It's your job to do it. And you're just way more, it's way more efficient.
The first time you go to a college practice and it's actually full pads, what does that feel like?
Oh my, I have so many stories, man. The first college practice, so practice is based on what they call periods, and they blow the whistle, and a period is 5 minutes. So a practice could be, I don't want to say and get butchered on math, but a practice can be 20 periods, you do the math, or 15 periods, or 12, or 24, whatever, two-hour practice, whatever. Our first practice was 36 periods. It was like over 3 hours. It was in the middle of July in New Jersey. It was really hot and humid on the field. I had brand new cleats on. I was getting blisters. They made everyone tape your ankles. Mandatory, have to tape. I never taped my ankles before, so my ankles were stiff. My cleats hurt. And then Shiano had a rule. You weren't allowed to take your helmet off at any point in the practice. So I couldn't even take my helmet off to get water. So I had to like get water through my helmet. And I just was so just equipment uncomfortable, not used to practicing that long. It just was all like all the little things, I guess, that you're just supposed to ignore. And like, I don't even bother me now. They all bothered me so much. Like at first, it was a huge adjustment for
when
me.
You're 18, you're hitting 22, 23 year old dudes. I assume that's physically a lot more taxing on you than 17 hitting 18, you know, high school. Like it's young, it's an older kid versus men.
Yeah. Now, it's a big jump. It's hard. If you see guys that come to college, true freshmen, and dominate, like that's tough because of the physical aspect. Like these guys in college, you're lifting and running your butt off. Like you are working. They're where you had nothing else to do. They're owning you. They work you. So I came in 175 pounds. I redshirted. So I was the number one corner in the state, a four-star going to Rutgers. That wasn't the greatest school that recruited me. So I'm supposed to come in and be a savior type of thing, replace the McCourty twins, and I redshirted. Like I got crushed by all expectation. Pressure, and I came in 175 pounds, and I was 195 pounds in less than a year. I put on 20 pounds of muscle. I couldn't even dunk a basketball anymore.
Because you had put on so much muscle.
So much weight. I wasn't even used to carrying that weight. I'm 194 pounds at 32 years old. So in the last, whatever, 14, 15 years, I didn't gain 1 pound, right? But I put on 20 pounds in 1 year of muscle. I'm squatting 450 pounds. I'm power cleaning over 300 pounds.
And that's what they want.
Oh, they were lifting.
Yeah. And are your feelings hurt that you have to redshirt? When do they tell you that? Or is it something that happens game three when you haven't played at all?
So I kind of like, I had like a little back injury and just had a rough start to it. And it kind of was like, hey, you're either going to like play special teams this year or we can redshirt you. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to waste a year just playing special teams. So I redshirted. But Chiano used to redshirt like entire classes because he wanted older teams. So I think out of our true freshman class, we had 25 commits, 25 guys on full rides, not counting walk-ons. I would say he probably played 4 or 5 guys, 20 of us redshirted. He just wanted to backload the whole roster like that, right? So now his senior class, our fifth-year seniors, that are 22, 23 years old. So that just was like, if you weren't super phenomenal right away, he was you're going to redshirt.
What year did you leave college?
So I actually left as a redshirt junior, so I left early. I got it together, and I took off, so I left.
So your redshirt year, then your 2 years.
I redshirted, had a redshirt freshman, sophomore, then I left after. I almost left after a redshirt sophomore year, but I left after my redshirt junior.
Got it.
It was my fourth year.
So you go, and I was reading some of your, because it still exists, the draft stuff. Where like, this is his peak. This is what we think his ceiling is. This is who we can. Did you read that stuff back then too?
I don't know what they wrote about me, but I could probably tell you what it was. But yeah, so.
I mean, they do compare a certain player. They're like at his ceiling, not quite Polamalu, but you know, and they're doing.
Yeah,
so who did they compare you to in college? Just when you would talk to folks and they'd be like, oh, we could kind of see you being this type of player in the NFL.
So I don't know if there was an exact like ceiling comp that I knew in the NFL at the moment. But my biggest thing is like I was super smart and tough and productive. Like I had some of the most productive stats. Like I was second in Big East history in pass breakups ahead of Devin McCourty, behind Darrell Revis by like a couple.
And do you think that's because of your athletic ability or because your instincts and studying was so good?
100% instincts and studying. Once I figured out the game, I would say half the time now in the NFL, I play plays over players. Like, I don't care. Like, Julio's one of my good friends. I had to cover Julio in the Super Bowl. I don't care it's Julio. Julio only runs, like, can only run 10 routes. And once I figure out what they are, it can only be three. So I'm going to play these three routes, right, based on situation and all that. So I'm paying the plays. So at the end of the day, the quarterback's got to throw it to a spot. If I can figure out that spot before you figure out this, or, you know, because I don't know where you're going, I got to do some math. So I always say I'm just playing high stakes blackjack out there.
Being such a cerebral guy, because, again, that's the story on you, too, is that you were able to almost predict chess moves before the chess move happened.
Yeah.
You ever think about coaching?
Yeah, you know, I get asked that a lot because I definitely have, I have a memory where I almost remember every game I play in and the plays. And then I think I do a decent job of explaining it to the everyday person. So that's why media is good. And coaching, I just don't like how many hours these coaches work. Like, it's very hard for a coach to have a balance with any family life. Like, they're home at midnight all year round. I mean, it's a crazy profession that doesn't have any balance, work-life balance.
So right now, not attractive to you. Would you go coach college or NFL if you had to?
I would coach NFL over college because I don't want to recruit. You're on the road, yeah, and you're off time at a 17-year-old's high school telling him he's going to be better than Devin McCourty. Like, you know, it's just like, I don't feel like doing that. I'm too real with kids. I'm like, look, you're not good, but we'll take you. We'll probably make you good, but you're not, you know, you got to earn everything here.
You're deciding to go and you're going to leave Rutgers, you're going to go to the NFL, and they kind of have you pegged as a you know, late second, third round pick. And do you kind of have an idea of what team will take you in that race? Is it like four or five teams? Or does everybody just act like they like you until they got to make that decision?
Yeah, so I leave Rutgers. I get a second. They give you a draft grade if you want to like leave early. They gave me a second round draft grade. So it's all going to be dependent like on my combine. But I wasn't a combine freak.
Who gave you that grade, by the way?
I don't know.
Where do you get the official grade?
I don't know.
Grade?
You submit it to some dudes who are sitting in a room and say, you would go in the second round. But I think they have to protect you because they want to keep kids in school. Right. So they give you a lower grade because they don't want kids coming out, right? They don't want to say, you're going to go in the first round if you come out and then you slide to the sixth round. Now you're really pissed. So they gave me a second round grade based on production. That's like, at worst, I'm going in the second round. That's good money. So Rutgers is like, no, don't go. You'll be a first rounder next year. I'm like, I'm going. I go to the second round. I start training. And I'm like one of those athletes that like, I can play baseball. I can play ping pong. Like, I can play pickleball. Like, I can fish. I can play basketball. I'm like an all over, like a ball athlete, I guess. Bowl. I can bowl over 200, whatever. There's guys that could literally not swing a baseball bat, but they can jump 44 inches and stuff. I'm not like that. So I had very mediocre numbers at the combine. And obviously, I was a junior, so I didn't have the senior bowl or all that stuff to have more opportunity to be seen. So I kind of was like, oh, this guy just kept, every time I look, I just slipped. Someone did something at something that I wasn't even at, and I slipped.
You weren't doing anything to slip.
No,
just because you weren't able to do certain things.
Yeah, you leave as a junior, there is no senior bowl. Dang. There is no, I'm okay, I'm a junior. All I have is the NFL combine. As soon as I ran a 4.5, it was like, oh, this guy out of nowhere who has no numbers ran a 4.3. Because they're kind of sell a story at the combine too, right? They want the biggest athletic freaks there. So I kind of slipped. I went to the third round. New England came to Rutgers, and Rutgers had a lot of guys at the time coming out. And Bill Belichick, and this is actually I got all these Belichick stories that just keep coming out. So when you're in college, there's local pro days. So in New Jersey, right, like the Jets and the Giants can work out the local guys on their own day. And guys from all those colleges in New Jersey can go do a local pro day for the Jets and the Giants. So Bill Belichick decides that he wants to come do a visit with me on the day of the Jets' local pro day. So I'm not going to work out for the Jets. The Patriots are coming to work me out privately. And I think only two or three teams work me out privately. Not only did he invite...
That's purposeful, right?
Right. I mean, not only did he invite me, yeah, he invited about 16 Rutgers players. So everybody... I mean, I think we had seven guys get drafted that year. We led the draft with players. Me, Daron Harmon, Steve Beharnes, everybody that we had coming out, we had like 8 guys on defense, 8 guys on offense. So it was like a pretty much a Patriot pro day the day that was supposed to be the Jets pro day. So Rex Ryan and Jets were pissed because none of the Rutgers players went to their pro day. They had like Monmouth players go. And it was like, well, Bill came in and said to do this. So I remember I did the thing with Bill, but I called Devin because Devin's one of my good friends and he was on the Patriots already and was their captain. So I said, I need all your drills. Give me all your warm-up drills. Give me all your DB drills. What do you guys do in a workout? So Devin sent me all their drills and I've been practicing with the guys for a week because we knew what day this was coming. So our entire secondary was practicing these drills for a week. So when they come in, we crush the workout. Then we go to the film room and I'm like, oh, this is what I do. I'm telling him what the nose guard does. I'm telling him what all 11 players do on every defense. So I knew I impressed Bill. And then he ends up drafting me in the third round, Daron Harmon, who was our free safety in the third round as well. So he drafted four guys on Rutgers defense alone in that draft. But I had the drills from Devin a week prior, and we were practicing for this workout.
What's it like as a rookie going into the locker room of the NFL where you got 35-year-old men there as well?
Crazy. It was, again, that's another adjustment again. And I just think you got to earn them with your play and just being a good rookie. I was singing songs. I was telling jokes. I remember I was playing really well in the preseason. I actually had a pick six against the Bucks, who Shiano went to be that coach. So I kind of got Shiano back with a pick six in the preseason.
Got him back.
And because he didn't draft me in the second round. So my old coach did passing on me.
Dang, that had to hurt a little bit, though. So, like, I had taken that personal.
Yeah, it was a little personal at the time. So I was like, okay, don't draft me. That's fine. See what I do. So I he actually drafted another corner as well. So I end up doing that. So I'm playing well. So I'm like kind of playing with the starters, like when the season's about to start, like kind of like in there. Very different than the start of my college career. And I remember Aqib Talib was like, and I think there's no more intimidating veteran you can have than Aqib Talib as a rookie. And Aqib was like, yo, the rookie, you got to get this chicken wings before we go on away games on the flight. And I'm like, bro, I'm not getting no chicken wings. I'm like one of the starters. Like, get the other rookies a day. And he was like, he looked at me, he's like, you're getting those chicken wings. And I just was like, I'm getting those chicken wings. So I ended up getting chicken wings before every road game. I had to go to Skip Jack's across the street, a Patriot place, and get like 300 chicken wings in a suit and bring buffalo wings in a suit and not get any sauce on me and get pictured in the plane. So every like pregame picture of me in the plane, I had like big old bag of chicken wings for the entire secondary or whatever. And I did that for an entire year. And I ended up starting most of that year, leading the AFC. And I had 5 interceptions as a rookie.
You're still getting wings, even though you got 5?
Started AFC championship, had more picks than Talib that year. And I was getting chicken wings up to the AFC championship. And I remember we were flying to the AFC championship and Bill was like, let the players sit first class. And some other organizations, when you fly, the coaches sit first class and the players sit in the back, and that pisses the players off. But Bill's like, nah, the players, they run the show, like they're in the first class, but there's only so many seats. So he doesn't do it on seniority. He does it on who's playing. So I remember I got like a first class seat. I'm like, yeah, like, okay, I made it. And they had some guys that are 10-year vets in economy pissed. But I'm like, hey, like, I'm playing better. Bill rewards who's playing better.
Who gets respect? Somebody who plays well or somebody who's got a big deal?
Who, I always say play well, because even when I signed some big deals, I signed two $30 million contracts in my career. And I always felt like I got to show to the guys like I'm worth it. Because nothing's worse than a guy who gets paid and doesn't work. And you're like, this is the guy we're paying? Like, you're it?
Do you see that in locker rooms?
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of teams' issues. They pay guys. They don't know their character. The money changes the guys. And now you have a big issue because not only is your paid player supposed to be your best player and hopefully your hardest worker like Tom Brady is and these guys are, he's your least hardest worker, and he's not even playing up to his own potential. So that really hurts your team. So you got to pay. You got to make sure that you reward the right guys.
I'm a big booster. I do NILs with players, big Arkansas guy. And I think one of the things that I've been able to observe is that some of these guys grew up like I did, no money, broke. But this is their first time to get some money in college, and it actually prepares them for when they get more money in the NFL. So it's not just straight culture shock going from nothing to everything. I feel like that's a real positive of the NIL, is there's an adjustment period before you hit it real big. Your thoughts on that?
I love that. I love the NIL. I just like that the players are getting a piece of the pie. And I know it's kind of crazy to regulate, and I know a lot of players are making a lot of money at a young age. But I think what it also does, I think it can expose the family that's been waiting to do it anyway. So you might, you know, when you got $1 million at 21, you got some uncles that have been waiting in the weeds, you know, that now if you don't give them some, now they're mad at you. So maybe it exposes a little the family dynamic or the support dynamic a little earlier, so these kids be like, oh, okay, I really see who's got my back and not, you know? So I think a lot of guys' stresses is dealing with family and how to handle, like, you can't help everybody and who do you owe what to, and what, your aunt's struggling, so you got to pay for her, and so-and-so had a hospital bill, you got to pay for that, and your mom needs this, and your dad needs that, and your brother's always been there with you, so he needs this, and then eventually it's like, you tell them no one time, and then they get mad at you. You know, so you definitely need to work on that dynamic.
Do they work with you guys on money when you go in? Like, because no. I know in the NBA they do these class. Do they?
Yeah, we have like a rookie symposium,
but nobody,
you
really
know,
pays
but it's generic. You know, it's not like a class. It's a 1 day, you know, 4 hour presentation. You watch the documentary about going broke, which was that 30 for 30, mm-hmm. which was crazy. And see Antoine Jameson and them buying apartment complexes and Jamarcus Russell, like, buying an entire plane, every seat. You know, I'm like, well, I wouldn't do that. But I don't know if that teaches you actually, like, what taxes are and, like, how to...
Percentages.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't think guys... Like, every draft pick is buying their mom a house and somebody a car the first day. And it's like, dude, you're making, like, maybe $800,000 this year. After taxes, that's, like... 500. Now you bought a car and a house. Like, how are you even going to pay for your own rent? Like, there's not enough money to do that in day one.
Which, I, you know, for NILs, again, I think it's great when somebody make a few $100,000 because then when they make $1 million, they know half of where it's going anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So when you get to the NFL and you're playing with the Patriots and you're playing well, I mean, you got the greatest player of all time, Tom Brady, there. I mean, does he just walk around and everybody just, it's instant respect, or is he one of the guys?
He's one of the guys as much as he could be. Now, he's different. He was older than a lot of us and all that stuff. But he is one of the most humble people for his star power. Like,
does he try to be involved with folks?
Yeah, he's very authentic. He's very genuine. He's very engaging. I think his EQ is what got him so many Super Bowls. He really knows how to tap in with his teammates and get the best out of his teammates. Like, sometimes you hear how Kobe didn't always rub right with his teammates, or Jordan didn't always rub right with his teammates, or whatever. I think Tom has that same competitive passion, and he knows when to do that, but he also knows when to love up on his teammates. And maybe a little more LeBron-esque, I don't know, but I think that, like, Tom has mastered, I think that's a difference with him and a lot of these other quarterbacks. That's why he has 7 and these other guys have 1 or 2, is how much, like, I'll tell quickly, like, this story I've told a couple times. My first time ever meeting him. So I get drafted by the Patriots. I'm walking in the hall. I kind of like see him like down the hall. I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to run into this guy. Like, what do I call him? Tom, Thomas, Mr. Brady. Like, I had this guy's jersey growing up. Right. So I'm like, like clearing my throat. And as I walk up to him, outside of normal conversation range, like, you know, you have like maybe a second to get ready for this conversation. He's like, oh, hey, you're Logan, right? We drafted you in the 3rd round out of Rutgers. And he's like, man, look, I'm Tom. Quarterback here. Like, if you need anything, my lockers are here. I'm always here early. Anything you need, like, just come to me and I'll do the best I can. He's like, trust me, I was a rookie. It's hard. Just put your head down and keep working. And I just thought that was so cool. Not only did he take the awkward interaction out of me, but he made me feel, he knew who I was. He knew where, what school I came from. He made me feel important. And he said he was open book for me. And when you're just a 3rd round rookie out of Rutgers, who's probably the 53rd best player on the team, I was like, dang, that's really cool. And I was like, yo, I want to be that veteran one day. I might not be Tom Brady, but I want to be that guy that's not hazing and not like making it so hard. We need these guys. And I think Tom knows that he's going to need every one of his teammates.
We only got a few minutes left here with you, but a couple questions. What if you said, hey, Tom, will you sign this?
What, that football?
Anything. It could be anything. You're like, Tom, hey, thanks, man. Will you sign? Like, is that allowed in the locker room?
Yeah, I got him. You didn't see? I got him to sign his last. I picked off his last.
But that's the end. That's, you already were established.
Oh, early on?
Yeah. Like, if you're in and you're like, yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah. I think you got to just draw the line there, because everyone would do it. So certain guys, when you're established, I think he does it. And charity, he'll do it. But, like, just... he would be there all day.
Like, no, that went viral when you had him sign the ball after you... And do you think part of that situation you approached that was because you already knew him and had played with him?
Yeah, I knew him. We kind of grown together, our relationship of respect. And I didn't know how much longer he was going to play, I was going to play, whatever. So I kind of just snuck a bunch of stuff from the sign for family finally over these years. And then I kind of snuck the football in there too.
You still have the ball?
I do have the ball, yeah.
What could you get for it, you think?
That's what I want to know. I mean, let me know who's listening. I want over half of 500,000.
How do you still train? I got 2 questions left. How do you still train with the intensity that you need to train with when you're waiting on that call instead of knowing who that call is going to be from?
I did this during COVID. I was a free agent for a long time when I left Tennessee. I didn't sign with the New York Giants till week 1 of the season. So I was all the way through training camp, and I got in there and I ended up leading the team in snaps played and tackles on stuff. So I've been through this. I just think it's discipline. I get up and get it done, period. Doesn't matter who I'm playing for. I get up. I know the work and what I need to do at this point in my career, and I get up and just get it done.
You want to come here? I know some people here. I mean, you want to come here?
What, the Titans?
I'm just saying, well, come here. I just say I know some people here. I don't know. Like, where you want to go? Where do you see yourself fitting? Well, who needs you?
Man, I would love to be in Tampa because my family's there, you know? But if that's not the case, then I obviously want to play for a good organization, a contender, that can get a guy to plug in and play and win championships.
Like Tennessee?
Yeah, we'll see what their record is during the year.
He wants to play for the Cowboys.
Eddie, question for Logan.
Yeah, Logan, so like growing up, who did you want to play for? Because I got four kids. Three of them are pretty decent at sports, so I bought them all jerseys like so they can take baby pictures with, so the announcer can be like, he's always been a 49er fan from the very beginning. You know, so like, who did you want to play
for?
It's
crazy. I kept this hidden. I was a New York Giant, and I literally kept this hidden. But I grew up a diehard Philly fan because I'm from South Jersey, and there's like no choice, right? There's Cowboys fans there. They get like beat up daily, fights. It's real rivalries up there. So I was an Eagles fan growing up. I grew up watching McNabb years and all those years, Brian Dawkins and all that. So I was big. So when the Phillies won the World Series in 08, 09 or whatever, like our teachers didn't show up to school. Like there was no school. Everyone's at the parade. It's like that type of town.
They were climbing the pole, the teachers?
Oh, yeah. It's serious.
I'm a big animal guy. Tell me about Ryan's monthly rescue and your goal and what you've been able to do so far.
Man, we were able to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for animals throughout the years. I was looking for my calls, and I love shelter animals. I have rescue dogs. My daughter fosters kittens. So we started a big animal foundation to raise money, awareness, and just be a different face in that industry. You don't see young black guys like loving on pit bulls. You see a different type of stereotype. You don't see guys with kittens and stuff like that. So, I've done a lot with Naturally Humane out here when I was still currently, and we're just trying to promote adoption and give out grants and stuff for people that are, you know, struggling with animals and animals need help. So I'm just an animal lover.
At RARF.com, which is RARF, and you can find them on Facebook. Search for the Ryan Animal Rescue Foundation. We talked about it a little bit before you got in here, but I really appreciate the time, man. I could do this for 3 hours. So
yeah.
I hope you get picked up by a contender. I hope you still find your fulfillment for playing sports the next couple of years, whatever makes you feel like you still got it. If you still got it, I hope you get. But then when you're done, dude, you're going to kill it in this space.
Yeah, man, I got peace. I'm proud of what I've done. So I'm just, honestly, it's a financial decision at this point. Thankfully, I had good team and supporter where financially I made good decisions where I don't have to do that anymore. And my body is important to me. My time with my family is important to me. So I'm in the one making the decisions now and waiting for the right opportunity with the right team. If that doesn't happen and we can do this more often, that's cool too. You know, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Pick Suey, man. I played Arkansas in college.
You played against them?
Yeah, we beat them. Yeah. Two picks.
You had to that.
Yeah, one guy
that's
called enough. Back.
That's how we cut. Oh, it did? Okay. He whispered one guy called back.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. Probably, what was it, like a clip or something? That's how you got it in the first place?
I don't know what. Something I didn't do. Somebody else was holding somewhere else.
Follow Logan on Instagram, at Logan Ryan.
Appreciate you. You guys are awesome, man. It was a big deal to be here, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Man, that's crazy. All right, Logan Ryan, everybody. 25 Whistles presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BOBBYSPORTS to get in on the action. As far as parlays go, I love bowl season. Not because the games matter, but because there are just a lot of games happening at the same time.
A lot of gambling.
That I feel like I'm pretty good at bowl season. I do feel pretty good. Yeah. So I'll bet multiple games at once. And if they all win, I win. If one of the three or four loses, then you lose, but you get better odds if you can hit them all. We love parlays. We haven't been so successful this year, though, if I'm being honest.
No, we haven't.
But that's the deal. New users, use the code BOBBYSPORTS when you download the app. 21 and up in most eligible states. But age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card.
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
We're going to get to another interview with Penn State's legendary linebacker, LeVar Arrington. He was the second overall pick in 2000, a three-time Pro Bowler, a two-time All-Pro linebacker in the NFL, where he played with Washington, with the old Redskins.
Yeah, the Redskins.
The Redskins and the Giants. He has a show on Fox Sports Radio called Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, which you can listen to weekday mornings or check out the podcast. Here is LeVar Arrington. We're here with LeVar Arrington.
So
being a former linebacker, were there ever such obvious tells by watching tape that you knew even before the play started because they didn't self-scout themselves and you're like, oh, for sure, I know this play. I've seen it 70. Was it ever that easy where you could just go, well, he's lined up here and he's this direction, go get it?
Have you ever watched my college highlights?
At Penn State, I've seen like a YouTube greatest hits, but that doesn't count because it's like you were a man amongst boys, it looked like there, more so than you predict in plays.
That's film study. That's film study. When you're leaping over lines and hurdling, you know, guys that are trying to block you, that's because you've studied them so much and you found that tendency and you've locked in on a tendency. If a guy drops his head, his shoulders following, that means he's trying to chop block you. So you can leapfrog him. You know, you make yourself look really good on stuff that you do and look real cool on the film and the footage that goes to like all of the sports outlets. You know what I mean, Bobby? So, yeah, you absolutely can study not only what the team's personality is as to what they do in downs and distances, but you can also study the players themselves specifically in terms of what it is that they're going to do. So absolutely. That's both sides. You got to self-scout defensively. By position, you got to do it offensively as well.
You were drafted second overall in year 2000. How long until?
Ain't that special, man?
Yeah,
pretty special.
It's very special.
Cool.
It's very cool. Pretty cool. How long till you?
That's why I got that nice little stairwell casing right there. You see that?
Yeah, I felt that. You know, you got a lot of money when you got a casing on a stairwell, not just a rail. You know, you
right.
got like a
you like
design.
That? You like that?
How long until you get a paycheck?
What you mean?
When you get drafted, like here he is, number two overall pick. At the time,
you got to sign. Well, see, that's the thing. You got to be signed. So you're drafted, and they said that they're taking you, but you still got to get a contract done. When you go number one, you go number two. You can get started on that process immediately. That could actually happen before they even call your name. Sometimes it drags out, and they call guys holdouts, but. You really, in theory, and by definition, you can't really be a holdout because you haven't been officially hired, right? You got to sign the paperwork. You guys got to agree to the deal, and now you become an employee of the team. So sometimes it gets done quick. Sometimes it doesn't. I mean, now with the slotting of contracts coming into the league, it's pretty easy. Like you're not going to have guys holding out. There's like a few things that you have to talk through in terms of guarantees and options and stuff like that. But pretty much the contract is pretty much the contract for rookies coming into the draft, which it was a little different in 2000 when I came in. We actually negotiated a deal and you could actually get a really, really favorable and big deal before having ever played a down of football in the league. So it depends. You could get it as early as the night before the draft, before they call your name. If you're the number one guy, you could have your deal done before they even call your name, or it could go well into camp before you get a deal done.
But how long until you felt like you were rich?
I was never poor, though.
Yeah, but rich and poor and not poor are two different things. You don't get a casing like that on your stairwell.
I'll say wealthy.
Okay, go ahead.
When did I feel wealthy? Probably, I don't know. I don't think I've ever felt wealthy. I don't think I've ever felt.
First time
to
that
this
check.
Day, I don't know that.
First time
wealthy,
that check
bro.
Hits, though, I'm feeling pretty good.
I felt good. You know, I'll tell you, I probably only looked at 3 or 4 checks in my entire career, man. Like I made sure my money was in the proper places, but I just never was. It never was big to me to obsess over it. You know, I felt like you did it for so long to get to where you can make that type of, you know, that type of wage doing what it is that you love to do. So once I made it, I kind of felt like if I got too deep into that aspect of it, I might lose the essence of who I was. So I still stayed hungry. Like I had never even accomplished or achieved anything, you know, to begin with. I mean, I did walk into a Ferrari dealership with a pair of like raggedy shorts on and a torn up practice t-shirt and some flip flops and mess around with a salesperson. And they wanted to kick me out and have me removed from the premises. And I did end up buying a 360 Medina right there on the spot. From the actual another salesperson who came out and was actually very cordial and kind to me. I did flex a few times. I definitely flexed, but I just wasn't obsessed by it. So I don't know that I ever felt like I was like, oh, you made it and oh, you're rich and stuff like that. I've just always kind of been on to the next. It's like just trying to keep accomplishing. And that might be a corny answer, but Bobby, I'm just telling you, I'm still like that to this day. That's why I'm on this phone call interview with you, right? Because I'm with iHeart. I'm with Fox Sports Radio. I just continue to just kind of keep building what it is that I do. Just stay hungry, humble and hungry.
I was listening to Cowherd's podcast, and I heard Up On Game come on, the promo you guys do for Up On Game. And it's you and Hujmanzada and Plaxico. And
that's
I was
right.
Like, yeah, I was like, dang, that is like a legit group of guys here talking about
legit
football. Yeah, so
how
did you three come together to do this show?
Well, I was an evil scientist. You know, receivers are the most touched, special individuals that you'll ever meet that play football. So they're very interesting, we'll say, in how they view the world around them. And TJ and Plexico, even in particular, more specifically, are very touched and very special. TJ has such a strong, pronounced underdog, boulder on his shoulder type of approach. And Plexico's just real smooth and just very, very laid back, unassuming, but yet very opinionated type of dude. And I just like being the one that kind of facilitates the discussions. As a linebacker, I like to like create and instigate like we did in the locker rooms and sit back and see what color the wall is going to be. Once you throw something out there and you get it started, you get it popping, then you start to realize that, you know, you hear a lot of cool things being tossed around in terms of what it would sound like if you were sitting in the locker room listening to a conversation take place.
You guys can check out LeVar's podcast network. It's also called Up On Game. They have close to 15 shows. You can subscribe. Just go search for Up On Game on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Final question, LeVar. Who was the quarterback that you hated being lined up across from? Because he was also reading you as much as you were reading him, if not more.
Quarterback that I didn't like the most, that I hated the most.
And not personally, but you knew you also couldn't fall into your tendencies because if he sees you do this, he's going to know exactly where you're going.
Peyton Manning. Dopest quarterback ever to me.
What separated him?
His IQ. Simple. He was like a cyborg, half man, half machine, man. half computer, half like artificial intelligence, like just a cyborg type dude, you know? And you could tell he was analyzing. Dear, do that. Adjust. Red alert. Like real real computer-like, man. Like, Peyton Manning was the dude.
Listen, you guys, go subscribe to Up on Game, and you can see all the shows. Check out the show Up on Game. And then also, you know, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It sounds like you're always you're always giving your opinion on something. Like, you are in the opinion game now. You're on every show. You got like 17 shows you're doing here, so congratulations.
Hey, Bobby Bones, appreciate it, man. I appreciate the plug. I appreciate you having me on, man.
LeVar, good to talk to you, buddy. Hopefully I'll see you soon. Pleasure.
Sounds good, man. Right. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye. It's time for the parade in Pasadena. Tradition meets college football action in one epic bowl game. It's a big one. And with DraftKings Sportsbook, you can make every play count. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on college football. That is amazing. Download the app now. Use the code BobbySports. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for just betting $5 on college football. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Put in the code BobbySports.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to the second special rounds of interviews during the holiday season. What a great year of 25 Whistles. Thanks to you guys for listening. Follow us at 25 Whistles or me at Mr. Bobby Bones. Thanks again for listening and hope you have a great New Year weekend. And we'll see you in 2024.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.